Let's look at Psalm 111, and I'm going to help you out this Thanksgiving season, or God is. Let's look at it, starting in verse 1, Psalm 111. Praise the Lord. I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart, in the company of the upright, in the congregation. Great are the works of the Lord, studied by all who delight in them. Full of splendor and majesty is his work, and his righteousness endures forever. He has caused his wondrous works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and merciful. He provides food for those who fear him. He remembers his covenant forever. He has shown his people the power of his works in giving them the inheritance of the nations. The works of his hands are faithful and just. All his precepts are trustworthy. They're established forever and ever to be performed with faithfulness and uprightness. He has sent redemption to his people. He has commanded his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All those who practice it have a good understanding. His praise endures forever. Let's pray together. Father God, I thank you. I thank you for the greatness of your grace. And I thank you for your character. And I bless you, Lord God, for who you are. You are an awesome and worthy God. Thank you, Father, for the work that you have done so faithfully in the lives of this church throughout this last year. Thank you, Father, for the way that you have provided for us materially, for the ways, Lord God, that you have blessed us exceedingly and abundantly, Lord, in ways that we can't even begin to enumerate. Thank you, Father, especially for the way that you have grown us in Christ. Thank you for the lives that we have seen transformed, for the salvation that we have seen, Lord, you bring to broken and lost people. God, we thank you for the way that you are making yourself ever more central in our life as a church and ever more central in our lives as brothers and sisters in Christ. Thank you for exalting and magnifying your cross and magnifying your gospel. Thank you, God, for the closeness and the family and the unity that we have in this body with one another, with brothers and sisters in Christ who have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus. Thank you, Father God, for your goodness, your exceeding goodness to us. I pray that you would be magnified, Lord, as we look at your word for these few moments. I pray, Father God, that you would wrap our minds around your truth. I pray that you would bring forth from our hearts deep praise and that we would honor and bless and magnify you as those who have been redeemed and as those who know deeply all the things that we have been graced with. I pray, Father God, that you would empty me of myself and fill me with your spirit. Allow me, Lord, to give the sense of these words, and I pray that you would apply them to the hearts of the hearers tonight. I bless you. I thank you for every good thing in Christ's name. Amen. All right, beloved, be seated. You ever been to one of those Thanksgiving dinners where somebody does this? You know, they like, all right, everybody stand around the table and join hands, and we're going to go around the circle, and everybody say something you're thankful for. You ever had that happen to you? Don't you hate that? I every time that happens to me, I'm like, I get stage fright. I don't know what to say, right? So you ever just blurted something out that you didn't really mean, but you just said it because you're supposed to? Like, how many of you actually had a fight with your spouse that morning or something, and you're standing around the table like, I'm thankful for my wife, right? I mean, you know what I'm saying? So it's amazing to me when I think about it how often people will celebrate Thanksgiving without something to be thankful for or without actually expressing Thanksgiving to God. You ever notice that? Like, when pagans get together and have Thanksgiving dinner, and they're like, I'm thankful for X, Y, and Z, who are you thankful to? I mean, you know, when I hear him say that, and it's never, I'm thankful to God for or whatever. It's just, I'm thankful. Thankful to who? Thankful to chance? Who are you thankful to? So I want to talk tonight about, you know, I want to prepare you so that when that awkward moment happens on Thursday with people that you're awkward around, you'll actually have something to say, and you'll sound smarter than the people in the circle with you. Okay? No, that's not really why, but here's the thing. Beloved, God loves thankful hearts. He does. He delights in thankful hearts. In fact, in the book of Leviticus, God lays out all the different sacrifices, you know, that his people, the nation of Israel, was supposed to do. And one of the offerings that he lays out is this offering called the thank offering. And the thank offering, you know, was a sacrifice as an expression of gratitude to God for his mercy, for his many blessings, for the things that he had poured upon the nation. And like all the other offerings, the thank offerings and the leftover of the thank offerings, they were supposed to be burned. And, you know, there was no specific time for the thank offerings. You could give them whenever. And so here's what would happen. There would be, in most cases, in the temple, an ongoing thank offering going. There would be like the smell of the thank offering always going on. And if you were like a visitor, probably, you know, I think the priest became accustomed to it after a while, but a first-time visitor to the temple in those ancient times could not help but notice the strong aroma that sort of filled up the air. But the fragrance of that burned offering wasn't for the people. It was for God. And Scripture says that the idea is that as those that burning sacrifice ascended towards heaven, it was a fragrant aroma to the Lord. It was an aroma of thanksgiving in which He takes pleasure. He takes delight in the smell of His people saying, thank you. And the reason He does is because when we give gratitude to God, what we are doing is magnifying the giver. Thanksgiving always magnifies the giver. It always magnifies the one who has blessed. And so that's what I want us to look at. Over in Psalm 69, verses 30 and 31, I gave it to you on your handout. It says, I will praise the name of the Lord with a song. I will magnify Him with thanksgiving. Look what he says. This will please the Lord more than an ox or a bull with horns and hoofs. I take the psalmist to mean here this, that God is magnified in our thanksgiving even more than in our offerings or sacrifices before Him. In other words, thankful praise and worship magnifies God as a giver, magnifies God as provider, magnifies Him as the source of every good thing. And so He is magnified when we receive from Him and when we praise Him for His faithfulness and when we magnify Him as our sufficient source of every good thing. So here's my desire tonight. Here's what I want us to do, okay? Here's what I want us to do. And it's going to be not very long instruction in the Word tonight because I want us to put the Word into practice tonight. But here's my desire. My prayer is for our thanks to be deeply personal, to be deeply heartfelt, to be passionate and sincere and true, and to be rooted in the faithfulness of God and of His graciousness. And so my prayer is this, is that we would offer to God thanksgiving that is unmistakably rooted in Him above everything else. And that the thank offerings that we express, the sacrifice of our lips in praise and thanksgiving to God would be a pleasing aroma to Him. It would be spiritually beneficial to our brothers and sisters in Christ, and it would be edifying to our own souls. Okay, so that's our goal tonight. And I want us to think about that as we sort of wrap our minds around Psalm 111. And I want to just point out some things. Let me just show it to you. First of all, I want you to see that praise and thankfulness go together. And they're public in nature. Praise and thankfulness go together and they're public in nature. Look at verse 1 again. He says, praise the Lord. I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart in the company of the upright in the congregation. Here's what he's saying. The praise that I'm going to give to the Lord, the thanksgiving that I'm going to express to God, I'm going to do it with an undivided heart, with undivided affections. I'm not going to hold back anything. I'm going to be effusive in my praise of God. I'm going to pour thankfulness upon God for the blessing that He has poured upon me. I'm not going to allow anything into my heart that would interfere with the fullness of praise. That means no dividedness of affection. That means I'm not going to allow into my heart love for other things that would deaden my love for God. I'm not going to allow into my thinking doubts that would dampen my thanks towards God. No unbelief that would drag me, you know, away from the throne. I want my heart to be united in thanks towards God. So while my words ascend to God, I want those words to ascend with my heart. My whole heart will be engaged in giving thanks to the Lord. So here's my point. The point is this. When we give thanksgiving to God, it's not a distracted thing that we do. We need to think about it. We need to consciously consider what it is that we are desperately thankful to God for. It can't be just, you know, something that we just throw out there. But instead, let it be something that has its root deeply in our soul. That's the idea here. John Piper talks about this in relationship. He says, you know, when you're talking about praising God, we must pursue joy in God if we're to glorify Him as the surpassingly valuable reality of the universe. He says, we have a name for those who try to praise when they have no pleasure in the object. We call them hypocrites. Okay? We don't want to be hypocrites. We want to be those who give praise and thanks to God from hearts that are truly and deeply affected and in love with Him. Okay? So here's the deal. We praise what we delight in. So we need to consider now. We need to think about, all right, what is it? What is it that I am truly thankful to God for? In what ways does He delight my heart? In what ways has He proven Himself to be a treasure to my soul? In this last year, maybe in the last couple of weeks, maybe even in this last week, how has God demonstrated Himself to be a deep and abiding treasure in my heart? Okay? That's the first thing we need to do. Let's consider. Let's think about it. Okay? Let's think about it. Let's think about how God has shown Himself to be a great treasure to your soul. How He's shown Himself to be a great treasure to me. You know? Consider that first. And then the second part of that is the last part of this verse, is that that's not something we're to hold to ourselves. The idea of thankfulness is that thankfulness is expressed in a congregational setting. In other words, we praise God, yes, in private, but also in public. in small groups and in the congregation of the redeemed, in our own families and with our greater family here in the church, you know, with the upright who will heartily join in. Here's the point of thanksgiving. Here's the deal. We are to express thankfulness to God for all that God has done, and in so doing, stir up thankfulness in our brothers and sisters around us. I hope that as you were watching that video, thankfulness was stirring in your heart. I hope that as you were watching that video, you were hearing the words that they were saying and the things that they were expressing. You were thinking, you know what? Yeah, I agree with that. That is absolutely true. And it began to stir in you that same kind of thankfulness as was expressed on that video. The idea is that it stirs up in us greater praise. It spurs us into a greater pursuit of Christ and a fuller desire for His displays of grace in our lives. So thankfulness starts with, okay, let's think about it. Let me think how God has been my treasure. And then let me express that. Let me express it in the congregation of the upright. Let me express it with my brothers and sisters in Christ. Second thing I want you to see is that thanks proceeds from a consideration of the works of God. Look what he says in verse 2. Great are the works of the Lord, studied by all who delight in them. What's he saying here? How do you come to appreciate the works of God? What do? How do you delight in them? You read them, you study them, you pour yourself into examining the great works of the Lord. There are a couple of things that came out, you know, obviously in the video. The preaching of the word of God, the valuing of truth. That happens when you value the word of God. But, you know, I think about the works of God. There are tremendous numbers of works. You know, the creation is great evidence of the work of God. The work of God's providence in our life on a daily basis, the way that He provides continually, His concern for the church, His concern for the people of God, the way that He provides for us on a daily basis, the way that He has mapped out our lives even before we draw our first breath, and the way that He shepherds us faithfully, like we talked about on Sunday, through each of the moments of our life. I think about, you know, the great work of redemption, where He changes hearts that hated Him into hearts that love Him. I think about the great work of grace upon His heart, in which He continues to sanctify us and make us more like Christ. You know, sometimes we take those things for granted. Those need to be sources of great thanksgiving, brothers and sisters. Great thanksgiving. One of the things that Jonathan Murphy said on there was, you know, when's the last time you praised God that He adopted you into His family and didn't just forgive you and make you a pardoned criminal, but actually made you His son or His daughter? It's that kind of stuff. When we really think about the works of God and you know, meditate on them and drink deeply of them, you know, the work of God, that's the idea. In particular, even the answering of prayer. I sat down earlier this week. I know, well, it's Tuesday, so it was Monday earlier this week. Feels like yesterday. It's been a long week. But I sat down and I went back at the stuff that I preached last Thanksgiving, and the things that I expressed, not really preached, but expressed thankfulness for. And some of the things that I expressed hope for in the future. It's amazing, beloved. So many of the I went through the list of, like, you know, just even some of the people by name that were on that list that have been saved in the last year. It's amazing how God has done that. That's His work. And to sit and to consider His faithfulness, in the work of answering prayer. I mean, God is magnified when we ask mighty things of Him, and magnified when He works, and magnified when we praise Him, having asked those great things of Him and seeing great things being done. In Ephesians chapter 3 and verses 20 and 21, it says, "Now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly than we ask or think, according to the power that is at work within us, to Him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever." In fact, here's the idea. Thanksgiving for past prayers answered should spur even greater prayer and petition of God. God delights for us to ask God-sized things. And that's what we need to do. In fact, over in Psalm 105, it kind of makes that clear. In Psalm 105 and verse 1, it says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Give thanks to Him. Magnify Him. Bless Him." And then the next thing he says is, "Call upon His name." Give thanks to the Lord and then pray. Give thanks to the Lord and then pray, and make known His deeds among the people. So it's this: give thanks to the Lord, pray, believing that He's going to do it, and then when He does it, give thanks for His works among all the people. That's the idea. Pray to Him in faith and in fervency and in frequency and in persistence, and know that He answers. Third thing is that thanks proceeds from a consideration of the character of God. Look at verses 3 through 6 with me. It says, "Full of splendor and majesty is His work." In other words, everything that God does, He does to display His glory. And the wonder of His glory towards us is that He is gracious and merciful. Look what he says. "And His righteousness endures forever. He has caused His wondrous works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and merciful. He provides food for those who fear him. He remembers his covenant forever. He has shown his people the power of his works in giving them the inheritance of the nation. Now, from the psalmist's perspective, when he's writing this, he's looking back to the Exodus, and he's talking about how the nation of Israel came, and they came into the promised land of Canaan, and they inherited a bunch of stuff, you know, vineyards they hadn't planted and cities they hadn't built and all that other stuff, that, you know, and giving thanks to that. But the idea, I mean, obviously the application for us is this, is to consider how freely God has blessed us who are worthy of nothing good from his hand. How freely he's done it. How he delights to set his love upon us. How he delights to act graciously and save those who will repent of their sin and unbelief and will trust Christ as Savior and Lord. He delights to bless us. He delights to care for us. And the greatest inheritance that he gives is himself. That's the expression of the psalmist over in Psalm 18. In Psalm 18, and starting in verse 1, he says, I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies. What's the substance of that praise? Who God is. That's the substance of his praise. And I think in all of those descriptions of rock and fortress and deliverer, just think about those ways he's been that for you. And those are sufficient motivation to praise him and thank him with a whole heart. Next one is that thanks proceeds from a consideration of God's truth and his faithfulness. Look what it says. The works of his hands are faithful and just. Verse 7. All his precepts are trustworthy. They're established forever and ever to be performed with faithfulness and uprightness. Here's the thing that God continues to reveal to my soul, and I think has obviously become a theme in this body, is that he is absolutely trustworthy. That his word is absolutely, completely trustworthy. That we can, without any reservation, place the foundation of our lives upon the gospel and upon his revealed word and know that we will be unshaken because God is unshaken. You know what? Here's the truth. We live in a world of earthquakes, don't we? I mean, we put our faith in a lot of different places, and what happens is any place that we put our trust other than Christ, it ends up being shaken. It just does. You know, the economy, you know, other people, relationships, all kinds of things. It's shifting sand. And yet the thing that keeps being pressed home to my heart continually is that everything that God does and everything that God says and everything that God reveals in his word is right and just and holy and pure and good. God's ways and his truth can be counted on. And that for me is a great source of thanksgiving. Because you know what? It's not long that you're in this world before you realize there's all kinds of waves and winds and all that stuff around you. But I have found, and I know that you have found, that staying firm in the truth and holding fast to the truth of the word of God and the truth of God's character and the truth of the gospel, that's a source of great thanksgiving in my soul. He says, next thing I want you to see is verse 9, that thanks proceeds from a consideration of God's enduring and steadfast love. Look at what he says. It says, he has sent redemption to his people. He has commanded his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. He has sent redemption to his people. We know what that is. His redemption is who? Jesus, right? He has sent his redemption, and this is the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. And this is love. Not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. That's, God has sent his redemption to us. He didn't just, you know, send us a message. He sent us the Word incarnate. He sent us his Son. And he has commanded his covenant with his people. And you know what that covenant is with his people? It's his enduring, steadfast love. In Psalm 63, verses 3 and 4, it says, because your steadfast love is better than life, my lips will praise you. So I will bless you as long as I live. In your name I will lift up my hands. In Psalm 106 and verse 1, it says, praise the Lord, O give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. And in Psalm 138, verses 1 and 2, David writes, I give you thanks, O Lord, with my whole heart. Before the gods, the angels, before the angels, I sing your praise. I bow down toward your holy temple and give thanks to your name for your steadfast love and your faithfulness. For you have exalted above all things your name, your character, and your word, your promises. Those two will stand. And the last thing I want you to see is this, that thanks begets greater awe of God. Thanks leads to greater awe of God. Look at verse 10. It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All those who practice it have a good understanding. His praise endures forever. In other words, here's the point. Seeking to offer to God thanksgiving and praise, when we meditate on Him, when we consider Him, it deepens our awe at the glory of God. When we consider His gracious goodness, it causes us to tremble with greater awe toward Him. It makes us to be amazed at our God. Thanksgiving is necessary for our souls because it makes us to recount the greatness continually of our God. The sum of it, beloved, is this. In Psalm 145 and verse 10, the psalmist says, all your work shall give thanks to you, O Lord, and all your saints shall bless you. That's the word of the Lord. All of the works will give thanks, O Lord, and your saints shall bless you. So here's what I want us to do. I want us, as a body of believers, as a chosen generation, as a royal priesthood, as a holy nation, as a peculiar people, as those who have been set apart by the Lord and on whom His favors are bestowed, to whom Christ has been made our sanctification, the blood of Christ, you know, transforming us. I want us to be sensible and to consider all of the great blessings of grace that God has given to us. And I want us to take time together as a group, as a body of believers, to give thanks to the Lord with our whole heart in the company of the upright in this congregation. So this is what I want you to do so that we don't have one of those awkward Thanksgiving moments. Okay? Here's what we're going to do. I want you to take the next 5 minutes, 3 minutes, 5 minutes, 3 to 5 minutes. Take the next 3 to 5, and I want you to think about those things that we've just talked about from Psalm 111. I want you to think about the couple of things that you are most thankful for. And this is what I want you to do. This is what we're going to do. Please do this. I want us to get into groups of 6, no more than 8. Okay? And not necessarily just your family. So Sheila family, we love you guys, but you got to split up. Okay? But I want you to get into groups of 6 or 8. And I want you to take a moment and share verbally. Okay? Your praise and your thankfulness to the Lord for the way that He has shown Himself gracious to you. And after we do that, then we'll share in the Lord's Supper and express our thanksgiving to God for His greatest gift, His Son Jesus. But I want you to take a moment right now to get with some folks. I'm going to give you 3 minutes, and then I'm going to tell you time's up. And then I want you to get with 6 to 8, no more than 6 to 8, because not everybody will have a chance to talk if there's more than 6 to 8. Okay? 6 to 8. Then I'll pray, and then we'll share in the Lord's Supper, okay?
Father God, we come to You tonight, God, and we come lifting our words, God, I pray, with humble hearts. God, Your word says that the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to You, but You delight in the prayer of an upright heart. God, create in us upright hearts. God, as we were sharing just, my mind was flooding of just how gracious You have been in my life, God. 4 years ago, I didn't want to come to Virginia. I didn't want to come to this church. But I'm here. And everybody that's in this room is here because of Your grace. God, we didn't have a desire to be thankful for You. We didn't have a desire to lift up words of praise to You. You created that in us. Supernatural work of the Holy Spirit. The blood of Christ justified us before You, and You saved us. God, there's nothing that we can offer you. We can't pay you back. You saved us and you remember our sins no more. God, what more could we be thankful for? Christ, in the Garden of Gethsemane, he drank the cup of wrath that was mine. And he offered me a cup of salvation. I don't get that. But God, we thank you from the depths of our heart for it. I pray it never grows cold. I pray it never gets dull. God, I pray as we sit around this Thanksgiving table this Thursday, that you would create in us a hunger and a passion for Christ and the cross that would make our hunger for any physical food seem like nothing. God, I thank you for what you're doing in this body. God, you are uniting hearts together. You are uniting lives together, God, that outside of your grace wouldn't happen. And God, that brings you glory. God, just our lifting up our needs to you glorifies you because you are the only one that can answer the prayer. You have no needs that we can meet. We are utterly and totally dependent upon you. And God, for that, I am thankful. I'm glad it's not left up to me. God, you are moving in this body in ways that, God, we just can't fathom. And I'm thankful for that. And I am so thankful, God, for the excitement and the anticipation and the expectation of what you are yet to do. I thank you for future grace. I thank you that, God, our past, present, and future sins you have forgiven by the blood of your Son. And then when you look at us, you see Christ. God, it seems too good to be true, but it is. It's objective, absolute truth. And I echo the thoughts. I am so thankful that that truth is boldly proclaimed here. Because God, the fact is that the relationship between your word and your people has always been that your word brings life. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. So God, I'm thankful that you have placed me in a body that desires to hear that word and to share that word and proclaim that word and leave the results to you. Because you are mighty to save. God, I just thank you that you are the God of salvation. I thank you that you created the heavens and the earth and that there is nothing too hard for you. God, I pray that you would forgive us of our unbelief when we come to you in prayer and we don't believe. Help our unbelief, God. We ask you to move. We ask you to save. We ask you, God, to do your will and accomplish your purposes here. For your glory. For your glory. We love you, Lord. We love you. But it's because you loved us first. And for that, we are eternally grateful. Now to you, God, be all the power and honor and glory and dominion forever and ever. In Jesus' name, amen.